the US, which George Bush has called the most peaceful nation on earth, has been at war with one country or another every year for the last 50 years. Wars are never fought for altruistic reasons. They're usually fought for hegemony, for business. And then, of course, there's the business of war. Protecting its control of the world's oil is fundamental to US foreign policy. The US government's recent military interventions in the Balkans and Central Asia have to do with oil. Hamid Karzai, the puppet president of Afghanistan, installed by the US, is said to be a former employee of UNOCAL, the American-based oil company. The US government's paranoid patrolling of the Middle East is because it has two-thirds of the world's oil reserves. Oil keeps America's engines purring sweetly. Oil keeps the free market rolling. Whoever controls the world's oil controls the world's market. And how do you control the oil? Nobody puts it more elegantly than the New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman. In an article called Craziness Pays, he said, quote, "The US has to make it clear to Iraq and US allies that America will use force without negotiation, hesitation, or UN approval." His advice was well taken. In the wars against Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as in the almost daily humiliation the US government heaps on the UN. In his book on globalization, The Lexus and the Olive Tree, Friedman says, and I quote, "The hidden hand of the market will never work without the hidden fist. McDonald's cannot flourish without McDonnell Douglas. And the hidden fist that keeps the world safe for Silicon Valley's technologies to flourish is called the US Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps." Perhaps this was written in a moment of vulnerability, but it's certainly the most succinct, accurate description of the project of corporate globalization that I have read. After the 11th of September 2001 and the war against terror, the hidden hand and fist have had their cover blown, and we have a clear view now of America's other weapon, the free market, bearing down on the developing world with a clenched, unsmiling smile. The task that never ends is America's perfect war, the perfect vehicle for the endless expansion of American imperialism. In Urdu, the word for profit, as in P-R-O-F-I-T, is Faida. Al-Qaeda means the word of God, the law. So in India, some of us call the war against terror Al-Qaeda versus Al-Faida. The word versus the prophet, no pun intended. For the moment, it looks as though Al-Faida will carry the day, but then you never know. In the last 10 years of unbridled corporate globalization, the world's total income has increased by an average of 2.5% a year, and yet the number of poor in the world has increased by 100 million. Of the top 100 biggest economies, 51 are corporations, not countries. The top 1% of the world has the same combined income as the bottom 57%, and that disparity is growing. And now, under the spreading canopy of the war against terror, this process is being hustled along. The men in suits are in an unseemly hurry. While bombs rain down on us, and cruise missiles skid across the skies, while nuclear weapons are stockpiled to make the world a safer place. Contracts are being signed, patents are being registered, oil pipelines are being laid, natural resources are being plundered, water is being privatized, and democracies are being undermined. In a country like India, the structural adjustment end of the corporate globalization project is ripping through people's lives. Development projects, massive privatization, and labor reforms are pushing people off their lands and out of their jobs, resulting in a kind of barbaric dispossession that has few parallels in history. Across the world, as the free market brazenly protects Western markets and forces developing countries to lift their trade barriers, the poor are getting poorer and the rich richer.